Okay, Matthew chapter 6 from verses 5 to 8. Are we here this afternoon? Are we here? Are we good? The King's Institute. The King's Institute. I'll make that announcement again at the end. The end. I'll make the announcement again. Matthew 6, 5 to 8. I really need your attention this afternoon because we'll do what we can in the time we have. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. God's so merciful. He still has a reward for them. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We are on a series, Church Without Borders. And the past few weeks, we've been focusing on consecration, that a church that wants to be borderless must be a church that's consecrated to God. Do we agree with that? And the Lord has not moved us on past this point of consecration. So we're going to stay right with it. I just want to share with you. I'm going to borrow a phrase I heard from Apostle Arome. You also have to reference when you're preaching. No plagiarism. It's arrogant not to reference because you want to personalize the revelation so that people know that you are the superstar of preaching. I just gave some of you a ministry school lesson right there. You're shocked. All right. I want to borrow something I heard from him. And I want to title this, Shut the Door. Shut the Door. Shut the Door. And we're going to practice it. Last week we were looking at Psalms. Are we here? Yeah. We're looking at Psalms 24. Psalms 24 last week. And we started to learn the word of God. Let's go to Psalm 25. I think that will be helpful. I'll read the first few verses so that you can understand the context of the message. Psalms 24. It starts by saying that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. We shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and we shall stand in his holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Let me stop there. I think I established last week the prophetic, please, I need your attention, so vital. Every word that God speaks is vital. Every word that God speaks is vital. We are in such an opportune moment with the Spirit of God. Every word we hear, we will give account for. Every word of God is manifestation oriented. If God says go, the capacity to go is in that word. If God says run, the capacity to run is in that word. But it's all dependent on how I receive it. Does that make sense? So I was explaining to you last week that Psalm 24 opens up to us. It's quite, the word I will use is quite governmental, spiritually speaking, because it starts off by the summary of that psalm is that the earth is the Lord's. That's the summary of it. The focus of that psalm is that the earth belongs to God. And I think the intention of the psalmist there is that is an invitation to experience the God that owns the earth. Meaning that in my time here on earth, if I'm going to be successful from the eyes of God, I have to be connected to the one that owns the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So a lot of the things, I will go back over this just for a few minutes. A lot of the things that we are looking for are on the earth. Does that make sense? The job that we are looking for is on the earth, right? The relationships we're looking for is in the earth. You don't want to marry an angel. The person has to be human. So they are in the earth. Okay, does that make sense? If you marry an angel, then we know that your prayer point is eternal. Okay, so it's in the sun, say it's in the earth.
In the earth.
Okay, the property you want to move to is in the earth. The house, that your dream house, that one that you've already designed it in your mind. On Friday, after making King's Institute, I said, we're like, you already have a dress. I said, what? I said, what? You have a dress for? The idea is to land in from heaven. All right. So now here's the point. So it's in the earth. But what the psalmist is teaching us is that the earth has a custodian. That the earth has an owner, the lawful owner. The lawful owner of the earth is God. And if I want to engage his earth properly, right, I have to encounter him. So that's what it begins to tell us, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place? And the idea there is that idea of ascending the hill of the Lord is the idea of encountering him, right? Is encountering him, because as I encounter him, I get the visibility that allows me see the world at a higher, from a higher perspective. Are we still here?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So this place, it talks about, it says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord or his holy place? That hill of the Lord, that holy place, is not a physical location. Am I making sense? Are we together? The earth is the Lord's, the fullness of the world and they that dwell in it. All right, we shall ascend the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place. The purpose of that hill of the Lord, of that holy place, is an invitation to dominion. Does that make sense? It's an invitation. In the scriptures, mountains and hills symbolize government and authority. Does that make sense? Okay, in the scriptures, hills and mountains are significant places. They are places of reigning. They are ascents, places that you ascend to, places of authority. So the Bible says, am I making sense? The Bible says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place? This hill of the Lord is not a physical location. This, what it means to ascend the hill of the Lord, it's not a physical location. It's not a physical place. You can travel to physical Israel and still not ascend the hill of the Lord. In fact, some people should not go to Israel. You know, some people go to Israel as part of like the Christian pilgrimage. If you go to Israel in the spirit, but you don't go to the spiritual Jerusalem, which is experiences with God and encounters with God, your pilgrimage journey is futile. It's a good holiday, by the way. Nice. Enjoy it. Does that make sense? So this holy place, this hill of the Lord, it's not an earthly location. It's a dimension. Someone says a dimension. Yeah, it's a spiritual dimension. It's not a public. The interesting thing about this holy place, this hill of the Lord, is a spiritual dimension, number one, but it's not a public domain. Come on, somebody. It's not a public domain. What I mean by it's a spiritual dimension and it's not a public domain is that this hill of the Lord, this holy place, is a secret place. So I say a secret place. Yeah. And if you understand what's happening here, in a government, for example, anything that is security sensitive or politically strong is not public domain. You have something called things that are classified.
Yeah.
Someone say classified. Yeah. So there are things in God that are classified. There are dimensions in God that are classified. So for example, in the book of Corinthians, Paul said this, even in the New Testament, he says, I know a man, he said, whether in the body or the flesh, I cannot tell. He was talking about himself. And he says he was caught up to paradise and he saw things that were unlawful for man to utter in the New Testament. Now watch this. He said that I know a man who was caught up with God. Someone say caught up. All right. You know, what we're teaching is better than you will get it, you'll get your miracle, your healing. You, yeah. When you get this, yeah. miracles follow you. Yeah. Signs, miracle signs and wonders follow you as a result, as evidence. You're not the one looking for them. They start bearing witness to your to the level of your operation in God. Yes. Right. So there are things that are classified. So the thing about this holy place, this secret place of the Lord, it's not so much a physical dimension. It's a spiritual, a physical location. It's a spiritual dimension. It is not so much a public place. It's a secret place. It's a secret place. All right. Although the invitation is to everybody. That's the interesting thing. The invitation, God's invitation to this holy hill, metaphorically speaking, are we flowing? Yeah. Right, is an invitation to everybody. God's desire is to have everybody come into this holy place where he can be experienced. It's a public invitation, but that dimension is not public, but it's a public invitation. So it's now dependent, are we together? It's now dependent on the desire of the one who wants to venture spiritually into that place. Oh, come on, church. Are we here? It's dependent on now the invitation is for everybody, but now it's dependent on the desire. So Psalm says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place? In other words, there are qualifications. Some say qualifications. And there are requirements. Someone say requirements. Okay, so step into this holy place. What is this holy place? What is this hill of the Lord? It's the place where all things happen. Does that make sense? It's the place. It's can I just be governmental in my language a little bit? Because sometimes I have to be wise with what I say. But let me just, it's the place of world domination. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I'm careful with my language because, you know, people are always talking about. But, yeah, allow me today. All right. It's the place of world domination. I will explain what I'm saying. So the thing about this holy place, someone say the holy place. Someone say the hill of the Lord. The thing about it is that it is the key thing I want to draw is that it's a secret place. It's a secret place. So in the book of Matthew, now Psalm 24, right? Now in the book of Matthew, Jesus begins to teach on prayer. Now, you know, our subject is only consecration. You get in the flow? So Jesus begins to teach on prayer. And Jesus starts this, in that scripture, it's interesting. Jesus talks about different kinds of hypocrites. He talks about the giving hypocrite. Then he talks about the praying hypocrite. Then he talks about the fasting hypocrite. The giving hypocrite wants to give and say, hey guys, I just donated. I just donated. You know, sometimes it amazes me when people publicize. I'm like, have you not read the scriptures? The giving hypocrite, the one that says, yeah, I gave. What I love about Jesus is his multiple levels of relational and emotional intelligence. What he said is, when you're a given hypocrite and you boast that you've given, he didn't say you have your reward. He said your reward is with you immediately, meaning that you have now got the applause of people. That's your reward. So you won't go. It's not that you won't go with anything, but you'll go with applause. All right. So he talks about three kinds of hypocrite. But then the main focus here is this praying hypocrite. Now, remove the word hypocrite so that it doesn't feel negative, okay? Just stay with me. So Jesus begins to tell about prayer. And he says, when you pray, he says, don't be like the Gentiles who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. But if you go further, he says, but when you pray, he says, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. It seems like God loves secret things. So you can't make up your own idea of God based on the way you think God should function or based on how your culture that you were born in operates. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes we read the scripture, but with our lens, with our traditional lens, with a lens of our experience. Let me give you an example. So to someone, right, nobody should go to hell because God is merciful. All right? But to in the mind of God, God has made provision for escape. So it doesn't matter how much someone really cries. The only way they will not go to hell is to receive the gospel. Now, that's not going to change. But someone else can think, can you not just be merciful and just, they don't need to hear the gospel as long as they're crying. That is your lens. That's how you think God should function. So the thing is now, are we together? We must now learn the things that God likes. So you now need a new objective for reading the Bible. Believers, we can read the Bible without seeking the mind of God. It's very possible. Does that mean we can read the word? That's why sometimes it now gets tiring, boring, and unproductive. Because motive matters. You see that? Motive matters. So the key here is we now want to learn, how does God, what does the word teach us? Concentration is important at this point. Please stay with me. Amen. I'll try not to be long. I'll do my best. Right? Okay. So now here's the point. I want to learn about God's nature. And when I'm learning about God's nature, God seems to love secret things. God seems to love hidden things. For example, he physically hides himself. So I don't see him with my naked eyes. Do you see that? Now, that's huge. That's big. But that's how he operates. So he seems to acknowledge things that are secret. So, for example, I told you in Psalm 24, it says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place?" It would have been easier if I took a flight somewhere. I booked some time off, took a flight, and I knew where this holy hill was, like Kilimanjaro. And then I programmed and said, okay, now I'm going to climb it. Right? But this holy hill, you know, spiritually speaking, it's a invisible reality, right? God himself is invisible. Someone say invisible. So he seems to have, and Jesus is revealing the Father here on prayer. And he said, when you pray, he said, in summary, most of prayer is what is not visible. My God. Hi. Most of prayer is what is not seen. Are we here? Now, I said this to say, most of consecration is what happens when no one is watching. You see that? Most of consecration. Jesus shows us that it is possible to be vested or invested in prayer or consecration. You see the interchange of the words there, right? But your motive is completely wrong. But you're fully given to it. You are present at church. You are present at everyday prayer. You're present. We're still smiling, right? Come on, we started the message smile. We're going to be smiling all the way. Okay, all right? Present at church. You're present at meetings. Okay? But you can be present for visible reasons. Right? You can be present for visible reasons. I've been heavily churched. I've been heavily church. What I mean is that in my life, I might as well have been born in church. Honestly, it would have just been easier. So I've been heavily church. So I've seen church on flames. I've seen church so I've seen numbers, attendance. I've seen churches grow from small to big. I've seen all of that. I've been part of that. Right? I've seen people commit their heart, commit their time to church. Jesus says, when you pray, he says, one characteristic of hypocrites is that they like to be seen. They like to be visible. But they also came to the meeting. Does that make sense? Are we together, church? They also came to the meeting. They attended. They were present. But their motive was not correct. You see that? Their motive, other motives. Someone say other motives. Other motives such as showing that they can pray. You haven't seen that before. You haven't seen people pray. No, by the way, that can happen. But does that mean? Oh, sometimes does that know what? I was listening to Archbishop Duncan Williams. He said that one day he went to one of his prayer mountains. He saw someone doing this. He said, who is this? They said, that's how he prays. He said, we just fall off. He said, what's this? I've been there. Right? Jesus said that it is possible for you to be in this thing. Yeah. Are we together? Yeah. And you have chosen other motives that are visible. And honestly, right, if you appear as a good Christian before everybody, okay, so you serve before everybody and you serve to be seen, and we say, wow, the way this person serves, that's your reward. That's it. You have your payment. You have your reward there. This is what I'm saying, right? If everything that you do is to be seen of people, right? The limitation is that your reward is with people. Yeah. But when are we following? We're flowing. Yeah. All right. But when it comes to God, this is where I want to go to. The dealings of God, in the secret place. It is more, anyone who works with God prioritizes what is done in secret over how they look in public. God so loves this, are we still together? God so loves this idea of what is secret that God can place, now watch this, this is vital. God can place an important grace on your life, a world-changing grace, and he will look like he's just ignored you for years. I'm telling you. Right? So God can come to you in the dream of the night and say, you are the apostle to the apostles. You know, there's you're the apostle of the next generation. So you have this fantastic encounter. In fact, you're flying, you're thinking, wow, is this really me or is this another? You're having this fantastic encounter, and it can be silent for the next 5 years on that thing. Not silent generally. Does that make sense? The next 5 years can look mundane. Not in terms of, not that you lack fellowship with God, but the next 5 years can just feel uneventful. It's like a non-event. Why? Because he loves doing his things in secret. You see that? He loves doing his thing. So he can look as if he's ignored you. And other people would, you know, are just, they're just moving. They're just like, wow, manifesting. And you know something. Okay, this is a joke. You're very sure of your encounter. You're like, yeah, is it not Jesus? He came face to face. But other people are just moving, manifesting. And you're just there. Because he loves to develop. Because if he pays that level of attention to you, you will start doing things in public. The day you heal one sick people, we won't rest. One sick person, we won't rest. That's it. Now, we're done. We're finished. That's what you just say. That day is if you raise one dead, well, that's it. You almost move into the mortuary to just say, out, wake up. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We won't rest. We won't be able to eat because every time we want to eat, just enjoy food. You're like encounter. Can we eat? Does that? That's what I'm saying. We want to just eat Africana fries, and you're like, yeah, the last dream. Can we eat? Right? He will come to you and say, ah, you're a kingdom financier. You have the wealth of nations, and then you'll be looking at your bank account and the word. You'll be looking at your bank account, and because if he gives you that wealth of nations, you first describe yourself as the nation. I am the nation. I am the wealth. Johnson sent me something I showed some of you guys. Love languages. Someone's love languages. Words of money. Quality money. What's the other one? What's the other one again? Say, acts of money. Well, then there's two more. Physical money, and then I forgot the last one. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. So when God, words of money, the funniest one was quality money. I said, wow, there's money, and then there's quality money. Oh, what a move. Right? So if God does not ignore you, it's not that he's ignoring you, but if he doesn't put you in secret, if he doesn't hide you, you see that you will take all that is given you and misuse it because you've missed the necessary lesson for that which, am I making sense?
Yes.
So it's like God's things are in secret. It's contrary. It's what's the word I'm looking for now? It's against the culture that we live in. Because in the culture that we live in, I always want to be seen. Can we relate? I must be seen. I must be heard. So the thing about those that want to ascend the secret place of God, the hill of the Lord, is that they must enjoy the God that deals in secret. Does that make sense? I can talk about that from the angle of prayer, or I can talk about that from the angle of lifestyle. You are seeing your friends. You're seeing people that you started off with. You're seeing the kind of cars they're in. And you're like, God. You saw me go, I claim it. Claim what? Claim you're joking. Claim what? That one you don't claim. Right? I claim it. So you might see some of the things that they're doing, and it's putting pressure on where you are. But if you can master that and understand the God that deals first in secret. So it means then that part of God's dealings for his people is characterized by people that know how to hide in him. Someone say hide in God. Yeah. They know how to hide in him. So Jesus, in this parable, Jesus is telling us that when you pray, a critical lesson about prayer is about learning to go into the secret place and learning to shut the door. So that means you must be content, are we together, with dwelling in God in places where people don't pay you attention like that. And there is no distraction. You see that? There is no distraction because in the secret place, secret things are revealed. Did you get that? In the secret place, secret things are revealed. But now this is upon the thing about the secret place. So Jesus says, shut the door. It is being able to get to the place where I am so focused and I concentrate. You see that? For God to begin to reveal secret things. And that's why he said, shut the door. You see, that's why it says because the idea of shutting the door is that it's a fight of distractions. Now, we can take that in terms of whether our prayer life or just our lives generally. You see that? The ability to shut the door against things that are interfering with God. Now, there's some of us in the room. You know what? God has spoken to you. You haven't just heard him. Yeah. He spoke to you ages ago. But you know the problem? You've not shut the door. You see that? Can I step this up? So what's happening then is that some of us may be years behind the voice of God. You see that? Yeah. We won't know. It's until you start shutting the door and learning to be content with being with him in secret that you start hearing that there are secrets about your life that were long revealed. I'm telling you. Believe me, try it. Try it. You book some time away. I remember one of the first retreats I took back in the day, Edification Leaders on. I was so busy in church. I was, you guys can't understand. My pastor really couldn't do without me. So what happened was that I got to the place where meeting, I'd forgotten my phones by divine orchestration because God knew I needed his attention. I had two phones. So I went to the retreat without a phone. I had to shut the door. So you find out when you shut the door, the way that you know that you don't feel like you're where God wants you to be is the wrestlings that you're having. One of the things about being at the spot where God has you is that it's confirmed by peace. So you see, I told you, when you say church without borders, we are the church. Yeah. Once we are borderless, God is borderless in Leicester.
Yes.
You see that? So, but the thing is, you will know. You will know that, for example, you will know that there's God's calendar in heaven. This is what you should have done. Can I go further on this? This is what we should have done by this time of our lives. I was in church once, one of my youth back in the day. So prophetic. I mean, dangerous. Because this guy must have been like 16, 17. One day, he went in a vision in church, downloaded from heaven where all of us should have been. Literally. Came back and said, putting on diagrams. He said, you're here. I was looking at my life thinking, Jesus. He's like, you're here. He put in the diagram, saying, this is what happened. This is where you are. This is where God wants you to be. Da-da-da-da. Telling you. And it wasn't no fake prophet. I went evangelism with him once. He looked at a guy and said, Eka. That was like, what a random name to call. He called the guy's name by word of knowledge, said Eka. The guy said, I said, yeah. I remember when I was transitioning from that church. He had been dreaming, but my pastor told me not to tell anybody. He had been dreaming. I was avoiding this guy. He had been dreaming. He said, I saw you, that you left. And I said, it as well. Literally. So one day like that, went to heaven, brought back. I like prophetic like that. Leave the witches in my father's house. Does that make sense? But where God wants me to be? Right. But you know those things are in secret. Am I making sense? I'm going to come to consecration soon. So those things, they are classified. Someone say classified. No one am I classified. Yeah, they are classified. So God loves to God is in hiding. God is in secret. God loves to operate in the secret. He invites us to a secret place so that we can hear the secret things that he has for us. And Jesus says, when you pray, that most of prayer is not what you do in front of everybody. That you must have a secret life of prayer.
Yes.
That means that whatever you demonstrate publicly, what's happening behind the scenes in your prayer life must be a million times more. So if I can pray 6 hours publicly, I must be able to pray 12 hours by myself. Am I making sense? Right? If I can pray 6 hours. So what's happening in the church can encourage us. You know, I could never pray 2 hours, but now I pray 3 hours. That's great encouragement. But now you have to take that into your secret place and have more depth to your life than most of Christianity today is branding. We got the t-shirt, the wristband. Does that make sense? If Christianity was about social media, you go to some people, the way they brand their social media, the color schemes they use, faith, therapy. Have you seen those they have F, therapy, revival, you know, basically, countercultural conversations. See, so they've branded and they use brown, they know those colors. So you see, if Christianity was the way that we brand it on social, because you know some people know to brand. If it was like that, it would be great, but it's not like that. It's not like that. So let me push this, because then we can pray. You followed so far?
Yes.
You've got it. So what Jesus is saying is that the God that we serve is a God that loves to deal with people in secret. And then when he's dealt with you in secret, he will now reward you openly. But you see, for you to get to that place of dwelling with him in secret, for example, he will give you an instruction. He will tell you, okay, this is what you need to do. And for example, instruct you. Okay, I want you to pray. Let me use prayer. Okay, he would instruct you and say, let's say, I want you to, you know, I don't want to use money either. I don't use prayer, I don't use money, because those are two obvious things. Yeah, let's say reach out to someone. He can say, okay, I want you to disciple this family. Now, he said to you that he's called you to the mountains and the nations. I remember there was a time, just one family I'll constantly disciple. So he might tell you to do that. Great, you have a great anointing, great ability, all of that stuff. But the instruction he gave you looks so minor. Right? It looks so minor. He might ask you, I want you to fast 3 days a week. And you're doing that, and he's not announcing you to anybody. That look at the fast of our time. Does that make sense? He's not announcing you to anybody. But the God who deals in secret. So he will sustain that secret with you for so long. That's what happened to Cornelius in the New Testament. For so long, Cornelius was offering alms. He was him and God were doing something in secret. So he now wants to invite you to, please, do we get this? He wants to invite you to a secret dealing. He wants to hold secrets with you. The most important people in your life are people that you think you can trust with your secret. He wants to build a level of importance with you. So he will give you a secret and cause you to sustain that secret for years. He can tell you, walk around Leicester one day a week and pray. And that secret can go on for years and nobody sees you and nobody knows, nobody pays attention to it. But he wants to deal with you in secret. Hello. Am I making sense? But then it says, he that deals in secret and rewards openly. So the problem with getting to that secret place is this shutting the door issue. Because I cannot get into that level of holding secrets with God, the secret place of the Most High, the Holy Hill, until I shut the door. Because I want to get there, but whilst I leave the door open, there are distractions, there are opinions, there are alternatives. But I now know my life is that I've been able to deal with this God who operates in secret. But as long as I leave the door open, until I shut the door, I will not understand how much he has prepared for me. This metaphor of shutting the door, my God. The Bible says that there was a woman who went to Elisha. Her husband was a prophet. He had died. And he left debt for his family. That, now, there are many dimensions to that, because at school of ministry, I must teach that that can never happen. But he left debt for his family. Now, so the wife ran to Elisha and said, our creditors are coming. They're coming to, you know, pressure us and take all that we have. So Elisha said to him, he said, what do you have? He said, I have a jar of oil. He said, good. He said, so what you do is go in and shut the door. That was the instruction he gave to her. He said, shut the door, get as many jars as possible. Right? As many as possible. Shut the door and begin to pour the oil. If she gets the jars, begins to pour the oil, but does not shut the door, the grace doesn't manifest. Because maybe when she leaves the door open, what are you doing? Does it work? Faith diminished. What are you doing? Do you think you're okay? Do you think anybody can walk in? You see that? And interrupt them. But when she shut the door, she was able to focus and concentrate. And the oil did not stop until the last jar.
Yes.
I think that's metaphoric. I think that's prophetic.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Until she shut the door. Same Elisha. There was someone who died, the son of the Shunammite woman. And when the son died, he went in. The family had been good to him. He went in. Someone says, shut the door. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he went in. And when he went in, this woman's hope had gone. Her son was dead. The Bible says he shut the door behind them. Someone says, shut the door. In other words, if he did not shut the door, they would have been looking. Will he raise him? Will he not raise him? Is he waking up? Is he not waking up? He shut the door so that he could get into the secret place. So, I can go on and on in this scripture to show you so many. But Jesus shows you several things you must overcome. Number one is you must change your motive for consecration. You must change your motive. Wanting people's appraisal. I want to do some practicals. Wanting people's appraisals, wanting people's, you know, people to, you know, to acknowledge you so that you be look like, you know, great Christians. Just as you must first overcome that hypocrisy. That's the first thing. Then the second one is you must now go into the secret place. But in going into the secret place, you have to shut the door if you overcome the hypocrisy. Because the thing about the shutting the door element is once you shut the door, God can now begin to deal with your motives. Are we together?
Yeah.
Someone say, shut the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens in the secret place is that God begins to deal with the secret things.
Yes.
He begins to deal with the secret things. In the secret place, the secret things, they begin to come out. The things that I've hidden in my heart. Does that make sense? So I may not know that there's a way I'm living life that's not conducive for what God wants to do until I shut the door and I give him attention. Do you get what I said? I might think that my ways are right on certain things. I may not realize. And there are prayers I can be praying and louding it and shouting it. But until I come to the God who is in secret, it doesn't matter how much I shout. If my motive, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart.
Yes.
So we get past the public affirmation that we want. Right? We get past the public influence. I can show you, scripturally speaking, how Daniel is able to control the world from his room. So you would think that to influence the government of the world, all that you need to do is to go into the king's court. And no, Daniel from his room, from his secret place, from his place of prayer, is able to control the world governments by shutting the door. Because sometimes when we say these things, it can appear that it's not relevant to your life. And you would spend life and time on things that are visible. I am for education. I believe in it with all my heart. I am for academia. Those of you that know, I love the idea of believers studying and exposing themselves and being intelligent. But you need more than that. I tell you the gospel truth. You need more than that. I am for believers investing, doing businesses, but you need more than that. When you look at Daniel, he did both. He was literate, but also spiritually literate. The emphasis he put on his spirituality. Someone say emphasis. Yeah. Yeah. If there's no emphasis on our spirituality, we're joking. We're joking, completely joking. The emphasis this guy put on his spirituality, it was from his room. Can you imagine? Normally, when you want to deal with someone who is a threat to the nation, you see, you know, maybe someone is a threat. You maybe feel like maybe, okay, you want to, I don't know, you want to take him out. Maybe he's like a terrorist, because Daniel was seen as a threat to his nation at some point. They thought, what can we use to stop this guy from being a problem to us? They said, let's ban prayer. Can you imagine? So a whole nation gathered to ban prayer. And this was not prayer. He was praying in public. He was praying in his room. So you're there thinking that your secret place has no power because you wake up in the morning and you expect some great anointing and everything is dry. And you know those prayers, you're like, ugh. Uh-huh. But you just think in your own mindset that this is nothing. But what you don't understand is that no, God is sustaining a secret with you. That if you steward this secret, it won't be too long before you start seeing things that begin to happen around you, and they are traceable to what happens in secret. God has a way. Oh, are we still here? God has a way of hiding the secret things that govern the world. And you will invest time in every other thing, everything. I'm saying that I'm repeating it for emphasis. You prioritize every other thing, but that secret place. So you see Daniel's story. They told him not to pray. The Bible says that he turned his face towards Jerusalem. They told him not to pray. Can you imagine legislation, law against prayer? And you think prayer is not powerful? And you think consecration is not powerful? This guy was running the heavens and the earth from his room. And I say the heavens because of all the interference that happened with the principalities that were there. But Jesus says, if you want that kind of reward, he says you need to go into your room and shut the door. is that shutting the door? Is that fact that God has been trying, and shutting the door is the idea of consecration. Am I making sense? We're getting ready to pray.
there are battles you will keep fighting over and over again until you learn to shut the door and give God the attention that he wants from you. They will just keep happening. They'll keep happening over. And all they are telling you is that you haven't heard God concerning that matter yet. That's it. So shutting the door is just the idea of shutting out the distractions. Going into this, prioritizing the business of your secret place, prioritizing the business of your fellowship with God, because everything depends on it. This is what it takes for a church to be borderless. We shall ascend the hill of the Lord, or stand in his holy place. So when you now shut the door, what happens? We're getting ready to pray. Are we still here? Are we still here? Do I still have your attention? Are we getting this?
Yeah.
Is this making spirit?
Yeah.
Good. I didn't say sense. Is it making spirit?
Yeah.
So when you shut the door and he now has you at the place that he wants, he now begins to deal with things that are secret. He begins to deal with things that are secret. He deals with my own secret. Right? Because he loves to dwell in secret. So he must first purge my ability to host secrets. I have a facility in me that's created to host secrets. It's called my heart. Yeah? Okay. Do you see what I'm saying? I have a facility. So now he says, shut the door. Your father who is in secret. So now he wants to deal in secret. And because he wants to deal in secret, the place that he wants to deposit the secrets is my heart. That's what my heart is made for. It is made for the unseen things. Oh, did you get that?
Yes.
Yeah. So that means in this facility for hosting and holding secrets, there could be other secrets, other unseen things. And the Bible says, it says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So that means every issue in life is connected to my heart. So once I shut the door, someone say shut the door. Are you following the process? Once I shut the door now, and I begin to come in with him, he's now dealing with my secret, the tank that contains my secret. And when I begin to deal with it, I realize that the reason why I've not been able to hear him is because I blocked that place with other secrets. So offense that I had against someone that I did not confess to him or confess to the person is a secret. And then others may now not realize that the reason for example, some of the sicknesses that they have. You know, we don't do that nowadays. When someone is sick, we're just casting the devil out. The Bible says, confess your fault that you may be healed. But unconfessed faults, it's not only sin, it's not only healing, it can hinder. Even productivity, creativity. So the part of my heart that's meant to receive creative ideas may be containing unforgiveness. Yeah. This series is important. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. The part of my heart that's meant to receive revelation may be filled with anger towards somebody. So have you noticed that every time you step up your consecration, okay, I'm going to fast, the first few days, it's like you can even be having dreams that are opposite to your intention. Anybody ever heard that before? When you start fasting, you start praying, and then you start, it's like, why did I even bother to fast? You're now dreaming, this is the, you know what's happening there? He's dealing with the secret things. The things that have not yet been dealt with. So he now begins to purge. Issues begin to come to the surface. If you don't understand that he's lovingly faithful, you will get discouraged and stop. Someone say consecration. Yeah. Yeah. And what begins to happen is the offense. he'll begin to. Have you had this before? Where you're fasting, but you're almost more angry. okay. All right. Right? Have you ever fasted and you're irritable? It's not the fasting that irritated you. The fasting just brought to the surface what was already there, because that thing is hindering your ability to contain his secrets. So the heart is meant for harboring God's secrets. But it is, am I making sense? It is when you now shut the door, he will now begin to, you say, oh, I don't have anything. You see things like, you see me? My heart is pure towards everybody. We don't know until you're in secret. It's pure to everybody because of your own light. Get into his light and begin to watch him, begin to identify things. And whilst that's happening, by the way, it's not that I wake up on Sunday morning and I'm like, oh yeah, let me just, you know, tell these people. No. No, it's not that. It's because we're going on a journey. Someone goes, oh, give me a heart for the nations. But there's no space. There's no space. You're too angry. You're too easily upset. Your temper. Now, I'm not here to rebuke the house. We all growing in Christ. Amen. And Psalm says, who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. So that means that dimension of his holiness is really, it's about purity of heart. That's it. God cannot give the nations to people who don't have a pure heart. Very simple. So he'll begin to purge. They'll begin to purify. And if you stay there long enough, someone says stay in there. But you must first shut the door. You see that? If you stay there long enough, you start sensing his heart. You see that? You start sensing his heart. There are things that will start happening to you almost. Okay, a preacher said this. He said that, David, that's nice, but it's not for your hand. Okay? Right? A preacher said this. He said that before he started walking in miracles and seeing visions, he said he prayed, fasted, nothing. He said one day he was preparing for a meeting. He had the biggest bowl of like fufu or something. he said he had big, massive pounded yam. Someone stretch your hands this way and say, Lord, help. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. Minister Tino sees a mystery in pounded yam that I don't see. All right. Okay. So he said he just ate the biggest bowl of like, you know, whatever, fufu, whatever. And he said he went to a meeting. And the next thing he's preaching and he begins to see. And he points to a guy, a big guy, and the power of God comes on him and the guy gets healed. So what happened? The time he was fasting and praying. Why did it not happen there? He's still dealing with you in secret. And at that time, I might be like, Lord, open the eyes of the blind. But it can be for me, for my validation, for my affirmation. And I would say, no, it's not the case. So you get to a point where the things that God has said to you, you are very calm about them. You're no longer agitated. There is a sense of surrender about it. Not that you've forgotten them, but you're content in God. Does that make sense? There is a set. Now, let me. Oh my God. There are so many things. Some things are relevant for now. Some things are relevant for later. But there are so many things when you start dwelling in secret with him that you will start saying that you're like, wow. Huh? If he gives you some of the resource, some of the human resource that you need, now you can misuse it. You can misuse it. So what you find is when you dwell with him in secret, you find days unintended. Maybe one day you just want to say hi, God bless you, and the power of God breaks out. But there were days you're like, you'll be blessed, you'll be blessed, you'll be blessed, say it 7 times and nothing. Does that make sense? It's something you've been applying for years. One day you just put some silly application in, lazy. Have you had that before? Lazy, let me just throw it in. And the one that you did not put effort in is one that opens the door. Or you just find someone say, oh, you applied for this job a few months ago. Basically, the person that did it has left. And now, come. Well, no, the person was never meant to get it. God just used them to keep the place hot for you until you came to the place where he wanted you to be and said, you've done your job, move on. Hey, come in. I love spiritual logic. There are reasons for this. You just find someone call you and say, yeah, you applied for this job a while ago. You're like, yeah, I didn't. They're like, yeah. So it's until you're able to get to that point where he's able to purge the current secrets that you carry and you can trade it for his secrets. But for you to get to that place, you and I, we have to shut the door. That's consecration. Shutting the door will mean different things for different people. Right? Okay, could mean how much you spend on entertainment. Right? It could mean how much you spend on the phone. You say you don't have time for prayer, but one phone call is 2 hours. My friend, you have a lot of time. Does that make sense? Right? Okay? So shutting the door will mean different things for different people. It may mean that there are some people, yes, you've journeyed with them thus far. Thank God for that. But in this journey of seeing him that's in secret, they're not relevant to it, at least for now. Till you find what you're finding, then you can now show them. Do you see what I'm saying? Right? So this is, in summary, this is a season of huge consecration, because the secrets that you need to dominate for God are not on the streets. Yeah. It's not public like that. Yes. So you will need to learn to prioritize the unseen things, even the things of your heart. Stop thinking bad about people. Yeah. Does that make sense? See, that's part of working with him that's in secret. You're smiling with someone but thinking, oh, look at his head. Does that make sense? Some people, if God opens your eyes to see their hearts, they're like, when you inside, they're like, it's like two realities. You're like, oh, that's true. Really? Yeah, whatever. Just thinks his big head is just. So you're more conscious about the secret things, the things that are not seen. Are you understanding my flow? Because you want to deal with him that's in secret. Your motives now, you're purifying your motives. You're not quick to think that somebody has done wrong. You're not quick to judge. Let's be forensic a bit. Let's start pressing in a bit. You're not quick to think that somebody has done wrong. Or you're not quick to arrive at or contrary opinions about people. That this is how this person, how do you know? Did God tell you that information? Did he tell you? Yeah. So you're because you're more protective. You've spent less time on your reputation before people. more time on the posture of your heart, because you're dealing with him that loves the unseen, that which is in secret. Oh, did anybody get this? So, well, I think it would be good for us to do some heart work this out, because what I'm sharing with you sounds very, well, basic parts of it, but you wouldn't understand until the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed. If we spend more time on heart issues in prayer, we'll spend less time on devils. Does that make sense? Today we're going to go before God. Did we understand that? Do you understand the word?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And don't worry about justice. Now, this is a word for someone. And don't worry about justice, because you're thinking, nah, they shouldn't really get away with it, because, you know, look how much, look what they have done, and, you know, all that stuff. Right? So you're like, yeah, it's that thing of justice. Like, it's, I love this story by Apostle Roman. By the way, I'm not endorsing anything here, but I just wanted to still share this story. A woman found out that her husband was cheating, and she had never cheated on him. So she got so angry because she was so faithful to him, and she kept praying, God, kill him. She said, praying, God, kill him. She was like, God, kill him. So after praying that for so many years, God now spoke to her one day and said, can you not forgive him? And then she was like, Lord. So all the while she was praying, God, kill him. Bringing all the things, he didn't die. And then God said, can you not forgive her? And she was like, God, can you not forgive him, brother? God, I forgive him. She forgave him, and the guy died. So God did not kill the man or take the man away. Let's not use the word kill. God didn't take the man away when the state of her heart was vengeance. Now, the reason why the man went is between him and God. But for whatever reason, I'm just trying to show you, this is not a perfect example, I'm just trying to show you, okay? For whatever reason, God did not respond to that. Because what God was looking at was his divine nature in her. So if she got that result and the man died and she felt vindicated but did not graduate to divine nature, she didn't profit. Now, when she now graduated to the divine nature, whatever God wanted to do with the man, right? Now, I can't tell you the reason why he died, so please don't judge, don't add me in the story. I'm just relaying, all right? Whatever God wanted to do with the man, yes, honestly, yes, seriously, whatever God wanted to do with the man, he now did with him. The woman's thing would have been justice, justice, justice. No. But he that weighs the heart. So don't let the vindication that comes from typical justice, that comes from, okay, so I saw the word repair. I saw the word repair. And what the Lord is going to do in the house is he's going to start repairing and rebuilding people's hearts. You know when God said to, when Elijah was going to call down fire from heaven, okay, and the prophets of Baal had spent all day calling Baal, and Baal did not answer. And the Bible says that when Elijah started to call on God, the first thing that he did was to rebuild the altar of the Lord. So before calling fire down and putting sacrifice on that altar, on that altar, he had to first rebuild the altar. I feel like in this house today, God is going to rebuild the altar of hearts. is going to repair, and you'll begin to find some effortless results just because the heart is conducive. So things like justice, you always want justice. Don't let that hinder you from seeing the one that dwells in secret. Oh, shall we lift our hands to heaven? Yeah. Yeah. Some of the things that you do in secret, please listen as you pray. Some of the things you do in secret, they don't even feel fair. They don't feel fair that you have to sow so much, you have to give so much, you have to carry so much responsibility. You're the one that has to do the forgiving. You're the one that always has to do the forgiving. You're the one who always has to, is that me? You're the one that always has to, you know, be the one to forgive first and do this first. All those things, they don't look like, but he that sees in secrets. Sometimes people don't give you what you deserve, the credit that you deserve openly. You work so hard, you give so much, but they don't even acknowledge you. He that sees in secret. He that sees in secret. He that sees in secret. We're going to deal with the secret things today. The secret things today. The secret things today. The secret things. He that sees in secrets but rewards openly. Kaparoska velamena kapati adagaskovari katadaba. I want us to sincerely, if there is no sincerity in this prayer, please don't pray it. Please don't pray it. But I want us to ask him to purge our hearts. Yeah, I want us to ask him because the heart is that place of sustaining secrets. There are secrets that God wants to show you and I. There are things he wants to say. There are things he wants to speak to us. There are things he wants to say. There are things he wants to say to us. There are things he wants to do. There are things he wants to do. I've shared this story severally. A minister shared once. He said that he stood on the altar and he saw two women quarreling, but he did not know the reason why they were quarreling. There's a sensitive moment spiritually. He didn't know why they were quarreling, but he went to them anyway and just said, "Enough. You people need to stop this today." He got them to reconcile and they hugged. Unknown to him, one of the women had been trusting God for the ability to speak with tongues, and the other woman had a goiter on her neck. And as they reconciled and hugged, the one that had been wanting to speak in tongues started speaking in tongues immediately. And the one that needed healing received a healing immediately. Hi. So that means that whatever they sustained in secret, whatever they kept in secret was regulating some of their possibilities. What are we holding in our hearts today? What are we holding in our hearts? This season of consecration, of shutting the door, is an opportunity for God to begin to purify the heart because he finally has our attention. I want you to cry and say, "Lord, you have my attention." Okay, let's do this. Someone say, "Holy Ghost." Holy Ghost. Say, "Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, I ask, quicken me, quicken me, quicken me to pray, quicken me to pray." Can we pray that for 2 minutes? For 2 minutes. Quicken me to pray. 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 Holy Ghost, quicken me to pray. Makepolis gavrekatina manskobari kataria. Rababa yakatali andekos kabelane. Marasi perukasi gete. Ask him for the ability to pray. Ask him for the ability to pray. Ask him for the ability to pray. Please, David, can you help shift the sound with the pad? Can you shift? Can you move to something else as you're led? Yeah. Quicken me to pray. Quicken me to pray. Quicken me to pray. Quicken me to pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we declare that we are closing doors. We are closing doors against things that keep pulling us out of what God has for us. Yeah, we are closing doors against things that keep pulling us out of what God has for us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Quicken us, Lord. Quicken us, Lord. Quicken us, Lord. Quicken us to pray. Give us words. Give us utterances. Some of us may not even be at the place where we don't know how to even express our emotions before God, to let him know the depth and the significance of some of these things. But I want us to ask him for help. Someone say, help me, Lord. Someone say, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me by the Holy Ghost. 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 The reality is you are free from that wound. You are free from that experience. You're free from it. You're free from it. That's the reality. That's the reality. You're free from it. Yeah. That's the reality. So the enemy is not going to hold you back with those conversations any longer. Any longer. It's not going to hold you back with those reminders. It's not going to hold you back with those reminders. It's not going to hold you back with those reminders. He's not going to hold you back with those reminders. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this season of consecration for a borderless church. Yeah, a church that will be borderless must first be borderless in heart, expansive in heart, able to carry the purposes of God, sustain the secrets of God, sustain secrets with God, sustain secrets with God. Yeah, I want us to do a hot work this afternoon. I want you to ask him for purging and purifying and cleansing. Yeah, I want you to shut the door this afternoon. Shut the door and get into the secret place. Oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We want to sustain secrets with you. Secrets with you. Secrets with you. Secrets with you. Secrets with you, Lord. For that next level that you want to cross to, you can't carry those weights. You can't carry those weights anymore. You can't carry those weights. You cannot carry those weights. We cannot carry those weights. They don't come into the most holy place. They don't come into the most holy place. We get past the outer court in mentality. We get past the holy place in mentality. And we press into the most holy place. Into the most holy place where the Shekinah dwells. Where the glory of God dwells. Where the Shekinah dwells. Where the Shekinah dwells. For it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it is the honor of kings to search it up. Yes, they discredited you, but who are they compared to God? Who is he that justifies? Who is he that condemns? Rather, it is God that justifies. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Yes, they accuse you somehow, but the one that sees vindicates you, so you can let go. You felt misunderstood. Yeah, I get it. You felt misunderstood. But the one that sees all things understands you. Yeah. Now, what I see prophetically is I see like a basket. Okay, I see like a basket. And it's like what this describes, the experiences a few people may be having. So, you know, when you pour a basket, someone has it looks like it has a capacity to retain water or anything, any other property. But the fact is that because it has holes, are we together? Because it has holes, when you pour anything into it, the thing that you pour in it begins to escape. Now, that describes some of the experiences some people are having, where it's like there are impartations, there are graces, there are experiences, but there is no, it doesn't stay. Are we together? It doesn't stay. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that the Father will reconfigure our hearts. Yeah, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus against any leak spiritually. Hey, against any leak spiritually, anything that's causing leakage, you're receiving from God, but you're leaking at the same time. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you will no longer leak. You will no longer leak. You will no longer leak. In the name of Jesus, none of us in this house will leak. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we will begin to retain that which God is pouring out. We'll begin to retain. Somebody lift up your voice and pray. Somebody lift up your voice and pray. Yeah, 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 yeah. The secret things. 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 Now is the time. Now is the time. Those things that it's only you and God that knows. I want you to begin to speak to God about them. Those things, one of the things the enemy specializes in doing is to get believers doing things behind the scenes in secret that nobody knows in the dark, and he's using that to destroy and to compromise them. But in the name of the Lord Jesus, this afternoon, we order a divine exchange. We order a divine exchange. In the name of the Lord Jesus, there is a purging going on in this house today. By the power of the Holy Ghost, everything compromising, everything corrupting in secret, everything eating you up in secret, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we evacuate it. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. Somebody pray. We are a church without borders. We are a church without limits. We are a church without borders. We are a church without limits. If God can find the heart of a ready people, his limitless ability can tabernacle in experience. Hey, hey, in you is a generation. Some of you, you're not just praying for yourself. Your obedience is for your generation. Your obedience is for your lineage. Hey, kappa, 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 kappa. Kepeleneya kon saperaki atanaba kaparaka katalia kon skapela marada da 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 bakashkabada. For that person who is tired from the inside, in the name of the Lord Jesus, be revitalized. Shakapala kanta bregish kavalanos rabababa yakatalian da 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 ba shele kepento beria katada da da ba shala compere telemenesco verate. Logonskabe, 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 kilamane, shilamanteria daba. Father, I ask that you do surgery on our hearts today. That you do surgery on our hearts today. Yes, that you do surgery on our hearts today. Yeah, that you do surgery on our hearts today. Hey, the rebuilding, the rebuilding, the repairing of altars, altars of our hearts. Hey, 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 you want to go into the secret place? You want to dwell with him in secret? You have to push past those things that are a hindrance. He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Yeah. You don't need the apology. You can move on. You can move on. You can move on. You can move on. By seeing him that dwells in the secret. By seeing him that dwells in the secret. By seeing his plan for your life. By seeing his purpose for your life. Oh. Listen. When you see him that dwells in secret. Sorry is no longer a big deal. You are not to be pitied. You are to be envied. When you see him that dwells in secret. When he affirms you. His affirmation is stronger than 1,000 words that anyone could speak to you. Yes. My God. Yes. Shut the door. Shut the door. Shut that door. Shut that door. Close that chapter. Shut the door. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength, my God in whom I trust. All right. Marika palekon teleano salemakia de zalibrade shigelenemo sirarararaba yirade zananana makapalos kevania tele labras kebalento brigash kavala maruske bareka telia dararaba. All right. There are some situations where some significant things have happened, some significant experiences where what you have is they're like maybe people stumbled behind the scenes, maybe errors, mistakes. Basically, they happened in secret. They happened in secret. They happened in secret. And in many of these cases, people did not know about them. You know, no one really knew about them. But the enemy has been using that then to torment or to hold back or to invalidate. There are circumstances like that. Mm-hmm. There are circumstances like you stumbled behind the scenes. And then since then, the confidence, the boldness, the assurance has not been there. So these are behind the scenes transactions. So the enemy also tries to use the things that are behind the scenes, the secret things, to also manipulate people. So for example, if Joseph slept with Potiphar's wife behind the scenes in secret, he also tries to use in secret stuff
right, it would have compromised his future. Just as Esau, in secret, behind the scenes, he sold his birthright. So what eventually played out was because of the compromise in secret. So there are some things like that that we want to pray about. And I want to believe God with us, that we want to believe God together, that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're walking in complete freedom. You're walking in complete freedom, that the impact of those experiences will no longer affect you. Shall we lift up our voices and pray?